There are actually seminars for educators on how to handle helicopter parents. Those super involved parental units who swoop in and often swoop down on administrators and educators out of concern for their kids' well-being. At Colgate University, administrators issue parents the university's philosophy on self-reliance during orientation week. One thought it's only to be anecdotal. The annual study by the National Study of Student Engagement, the NSSE, or the NESE, as they call it, found out that these helicopter parents do exist. And guess what? Some kids on college campuses don't seem to mind all that much. It's just one of the many findings in this year's report. And here to walk us through some of those findings is George Koo, Chancellor's Professor and Director at the Center for Postsecondary Research at Indiana University, Bloomington. Hi, George.
Good morning.
So this study is based on thousands of kids at over 600 colleges across the country. And the real goal is to look at the quality of undergraduate education, right?
That's exactly right. We're looking at things that matter to student learning, their satisfaction, and all these things are linked to desired outcomes. So we collect this information, feed it back to the individual institutions, and they use it to improve what they do.
So what did this survey, did you learn about the way college kids and their parents interact these days? Who calls who and why?
Well, we don't know exactly who calls who. We just know there's a lot of calling going on. we know this anecdotally. You've seen it yourself. You walk across a college campus and there's a cell phone plastered to the student's ear, and they're just as likely you can overhear conversations with mom, dad, brother, sister. We were interested because of what you said in the lead-in. There's a mounting concern that parents, in fact, are, if you will, kind of interfering, are insinuating themselves into their students' education and doing things that the student, him or herself, ought to be doing. And so we asked some questions about who students spoke with, how often they were in contact with family members and other members of their support system, siblings, friends from high school, a little bit about what they talked about. And then we put that in the context of the rest of the questions we asked, which, as I said, have to do with their engagement in productive learning activities. And it turns out that lots of students, many more perhaps than we think, are in frequent contact with parents. So most, 7 out of 10, say they often are in contact with a family member. And 3/4 of those students say they usually take their parents' advice. But in terms of the so-called hovering helicopter parent, our data indicate that even those whose parents, according to students, frequently intervene in some aspect of their life, these students are just as, in fact, more engaged. They're more satisfied. They say they get more support, both from parents and the campus community, and they report getting as much out of that out of their college years as other students. So it tends to deflate, if not blow up, the myth of the helicopter parent. I mean, there are some other more subtle findings here. We know that students whose parents frequently intervene tend not to be achieving at the same level as their peers. That is, their grades are a little bit lower, which leads us to perhaps suspect that maybe their parents are kind of on their case and trying to do whatever they can to boost their academic performance, at least let them know that they're concerned about it.
Hey, George, is there a profile of the helicopter parent in terms of education or economic level?
It turns out the big surprise to me was I expected the college-educated parent, people with advanced degrees who know how to work the system, to be overrepresented among these so-called helicopter, highly interested parents. That wasn't the case. There could be a first-generation student's parent who is in contact with, as well as working with campus officials. So there was no difference there, which was a surprise.
So the conventional wisdom has always been, though, that college was a breaking point. This is your time to move on, to grow up. So is this posing a problem for students in this way, or perhaps even for educators, that they aren't getting to deal one-on-one with students, which is actually something in the report you say that this one-on-one action with your advisor is a good thing?
Absolutely. It's hard to know right now, Allison. It's hard to know. What we can tell you from this snapshot, we think the first kind of systematic study across multiple institutions, is this doesn't seem to be making a difference in terms of what students do with their time. But you're right. The coming-of-age, breaking-away experience that we thought college should be, particularly for traditional-age students, has a different flavor and shape today. This is a highly connected society we are in now, and it shows in terms of of parents and students. Years ago, you might write a letter home every 2 weeks. You might have a phone call on the weekend. It would be great if someone did my laundry. Well, these folks are in pretty much almost daily contact with some member of their family. This is a societal epiphenomenon. How's that for a big social science word?
This is
the nature of our lives today. We're all much better connected, and this is the case with students and parents.
I do want to check out two other findings in the study that are very, very interesting. You find out that girls spend more time prepping for class, for the record, than boys do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's been
consistent. Girls are, if you will, more, may I say, conscientious students.
There you go. Just wanted to throw that out there for the ladies. And finally, this is another interesting positive finding from this report, is that kids who get involved in what's called a high-impact activity tend to do well. What is a high-impact activity, and how is it a good thing?
I'm telling you, this is very important, and we want parents to understand this as well as folks who work on college campuses. A high-impact activity is one that puts a greater claim on students. They do end up spending more time on tasks because of the activity. They get more feedback from the people that they're working with. They are introduced to different kinds of experiences because they do these things quickly. You know, there's a short list of them. A first-year seminar taught by a full-time faculty member, so that 20, 25 students, every first-year student in this kind of situation gets to know at least one faculty member well. And when you add an upper division peer advisor or preceptor to be part of that instructional team, you even get a greater boost with out-of-class activities. A writing-intensive course. Too many students get out of college without really having their writing improve very much. That's in part because they don't do much of it. And as a result, they don't get much feedback, they don't improve, and so forth and so on. These are things that one ought to do in the first year. Another early experience would be a service learning course, where a student is taking a course in sociology, psychology, some area, and they're actually working in the community and figuring out how what they're learning in class applies out of class. But when you get into the junior and senior year in the major, now we're talking about an internship or a study abroad experience, or perhaps what we call a senior culminating experience, a capstone exam or some other major project where the student now is put in a situation where they have to integrate and apply what they've learned. I mean, these synthesizing high-impact experiences have benefits across the board in terms of what students do in college and what they gain. And my simple remedy to improving undergraduate education is every institution ought to make it possible for every one of their students to do one of these in the first year. Not everybody doesn't have to do the same thing, but one of them, and then yet another before they graduate.
Yeah, one of the reasons I put those two together was the idea of, well, you call home, but make sure you get involved on campus. Those were the two takeaways. George Koo, Chancellor's Professor and Director for the Center for Postsecondary Research, Indiana University, Bloomington. Thanks a lot for walking us through the study.
A pleasure.
You know, those kids someday who are calling home to their helicopter parents might be doing it on a Google G phone. Big announcement yesterday about the G phone, and we will get all the deets coming up on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.